We're going to look at the second commandment today in Exodus chapter 20. And I want you to see these commandments again. It's not putting a guilt trip on us. That's not why we're doing this. We're doing this to say, God, how can we play to win? God, what is it that you want from me? And we look at these commandments and we go, wow, God, there's so many of them that are gifts that you have given us. And this is how you want us to protect the gift. And so today we're going to look at another one of these, I think, gifts that God has given to us. And it's the greatest gift of all. It's the gift of himself. And this is how God wants us to protect himself for us. How we can protect himself for us. So as we look at that this morning, let me just begin by a quick illustration. There was a first grader who was drawing a picture, and the pastor came by and saw the little boy, and he says, "Son, what are you drawing?" He says, "I'm drawing a picture of God." And the pastor said, well, Sam, he says, we don't know what God looks like. How are you going to draw a picture of God? And Sam said, "Well, Pastor, as soon as I get through drawing him, everybody will know what he looks like." Well, that's cute, and that's, a good little story. But as we look at that, mankind struggled with wanting to know what God looks like. And God is invisible, and he's a spirit. And it is hard to understand what he looks like to us because we see everything in the natural. We know he is there, but we can't see him. The Bible tells us he's an invisible God. And because we live in a visible world where we can see and we can't see God, we are tempted to make God into an image that we can see. God understood that he created a world that we can see with five senses: touch, taste, feel, smell, and see. But he also understands that we would be tempted to make an image of him. And because of that, he gives us this command that says, don't do that. So look at verse 4 in Exodus 1. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven or above, or that is in the earth beneath it, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. Last week we looked at we shall worship the Lord our God and no other God. This week, God is telling us how we should approach him. The first commandment told us that he is the only God. And this commandment tells us what we should do as we approach God. Now, as we think of this, I don't want you to think that God is unapproachable, because he is very approachable. And he wants us to approach him. He wants us to come into his presence. That's why he came and died and rose again, so that we can enjoy fellowship with him. But look at what he said in the verse. He says, you shall not make for yourself. He's saying that you should not make for yourself into an image and what you think I should be. You should not form an image of God based on the parts of God that you want me to be like. Like the parts of me that you like, that's who I am. But the parts you don't like, you toss aside. If you're a student of the Bible, you know over and over again, the children of Israel struggled with idolatry. So what is an idol? An idol is a man-made representation of God. An idol is something that man has made to help us get to God that God has not authorized. An idol is an image. So when we come to God through an unapproved means of something that we have created to help us, it may seem to work for us, but God says that it's totally unacceptable. Here's why. Because it lessens God. It cheapens God. Because anything that we create is less than God is. Right? Because all we can come up with on our very best day, with our very best effort, it still falls short of who God is. Even with all of our intellect, all of our wisdom, all of our resources, it all falls still short. When we try to come up with an image of who God is, anybody remember back in the, I don't know, the late 70s, early 80s, if you grew up in my age period, remember when you went to the mall and they had these photo booths at the mall? And so like, you were trying to brag to your to everybody that you went out with so-and-so and you were at the mall together, so you go to the photo booth and you get in that little booth and for a dollar you got four black and white pictures, you know, and they come out. And you remember that they never looked all that great? I mean, they distorted your image, right? I mean, they just didn't look like you. I mean, they were cheap cameras in those little photo booths for a dollar. And they were so bad you couldn't even show them to anybody because they would laugh at you, right? So who cared? You got them and laughed at it and then you threw them away. Well, that's kind of like us when we try to make God into our into an image. It's like we're taking a cheap camera and taking an image that doesn't really do him justice. Because no matter how great we think God is, he's far greater. He's far greater. Remember what God says in Isaiah. He says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your way, your thoughts. They're much higher. So anything that man depicts of God is unacceptable. There are two keys that is said in verse 4. That I want you to notice. He says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image or likeness. Image or likeness. Where have you heard that before in Scripture? Image or likeness. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, when God created man, he said in Genesis 1:26, he said, then God said, let us make God in our own image and in our own likeness. Same phrase, image and likeness. So when God created man, he created us in his image and likeness. I think there's a connection between this and the command that we see in Exodus, that we should not make God into an image or likeness. What does it mean? I think it means if you break the second commandment and you reject the image that God, if you reject God's image and you try to create an image of God, then really you are devaluing your own image, right? You see, God made you in an image to display and reflect, visibly represent the invisible God to a created world. But then sin came. And when sin entered the world, the image of God was distorted. Because the very nature of sin is that mankind rejected God's image and likeness, instead sought to make themselves in their own image of God. In the garden, in the very first act of sin, man tried to change the image of God. It was tempted by Satan himself, who tried to say, you know, God is not truly good. You think he's good, but he's not truly good. Matter of fact, this is what Satan said. He says, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will know, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. What Satan was saying is, listen, God is holding back from you. God's not really good. If God was really good, he would tell you, go ahead and eat of that fruit, because that fruit will make you like him. You will know good and evil. You will understand it all. You will be like him. No, God is holding back on you. He's not fully God. So in their minds, their image of God changed to not being a God who is fully good. And the image of God in their minds were changed. So at the core of sin is rejecting the image of God and his likeness and making it something into our own. In Romans chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, the Apostle Paul said this, "Because although they know God, they did not glorify him as God," meaning they changed his image. Let me read that again. "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. They changed his image. Nor were they thankful, and they became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to become wise, they became fools." And listen to this next line. "And changed the glory of the incorruptible God," meaning changing the glory of the holy God, "into an image made like corruptible man," made like sinful man, "and the birds and the four-footed animals and creepy things." Isn't that what we have done? Isn't that what has taken place in our culture? A culture that no longer glorifies God as God. We change him into an image that's like us. Thinking that we become wise, we really become fools. Here's the deal. Once you start suppressing the truth of who God is, you start this vicious cycle of idolatry. Because once you no longer glorify God, your thinking becomes worthless and you lower your own image. So according to verse 21, we have swapped God for an image that satisfies us. Genesis again says that God has made us into an image of his, and God has made us into an image of like him in his likeness. But instead we flip this into making God into an image like us. Our culture says that we want to make God to fit what we should think. So we hear things like this today. Why can't God compromise and just allow the latest cultural wave to dictate what is right and wrong? God also doesn't seem to be so reasonable. He's not relatable. Christianity needs to change its rules if it wants to keep up with the times. God doesn't seem to have the latest public opinion on what morality is. The Bible is a really outdated book full of trivial stories and tells how God operated a long time ago. It really doesn't fit our world today. Can we say obsolete? We often hear what God thought was wrong a long time ago really isn't wrong anymore. Or one of my personal favorites, times have changed, so should God. So like Legos, we're trying to create an image of who God is. And in our world today we live in, it's become like a tidal wave. You have watched our culture change drastically in the last 10 years. Drastically. Into a God who must love the sin of the sinner. Into a God who must love the sexual immorality of our day. That we have come to the point where we have watched the divorce rates rise. My daughter was telling me at her church, they were sharing and they were talking about divorce and they were wanting to love those, and they need to love and support those who've gone through divorce. But they asked those who had been through a divorce to stand. More than 3/4 of the congregation stood. Because that's so acceptable today. We have watched as not only in our generation we saw that take place, but then we saw living together become so acceptable. But it didn't stop there. Then it went to homosexuality. And now we're in the transgender. The next place is to go to bestiality, where you're going to see acceptable that you can have your mate as your dog. Because it's the next thing on the totem pole as you continue to go down. And we're making God into an image who must accept all of that and love all of that. God loves each one, but he doesn't love the sinner, the sin. He loves the sinner, but not the sin. And we can't make God into our own image. When we do, we lessen who we are. You see the effect it now has on our culture? It is destroying us. It is destroying us. And now, if forever, if we don't stand now, when are we ever going to stand? Right? I am thankful for those in our congregation who work in public schools or who work in public settings. Because they're the last defense. We need to pray for these people. We also need, I hope you're already boycotting Bud Light because you don't drink. But if you are, we need to do that, right? I think we need to boycott Target. You know, I think we need to take these things. L.A. Dodgers, that's not hard for me to boycott. As a Braves fan. But, you know, we need to boycott these that are standing for these issues because they are destroying the fabric of our nation. And if we don't stand up, when will we ever stand up? If we don't write letters or email to senators, then when are we ever going to take a stand and say, no, enough is enough? Our country is in deep trouble. Because we are making God into our own image. Look at what happens in Romans 1, 24 and 25. Therefore God also gave them over them up to uncleanness and lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So we exchange the truth of God for a lie. We make God in our own image. Then what happens to us? We degrade our own image that's being made in the image of God. I want you to see something, though, that's cool here. In verse 20, in Exodus 20, verse 4, he says this, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image in any likeness, anything that's in heaven above or that's in the earth or beneath or that water is under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them." God could have stopped right there. By the way, this is the longest of the Ten Commandments. He goes on to show them his heart in the next line. He says, "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." He says, "I am a jealous God." What is he jealous? He loves us so much that he's jealous for us. You ever had a jealous wife or a jealous husband? That's a good thing. You know, usually jealousy is a bad word, but there is a good jealousy. And a good jealousy is when you only want the love of your spouse. That's a good jealousy. Right? It's a good jealousy that you don't want someone else messing with your spouse. And God's the same way. God says, I want that intimate relationship with you, and I am jealous for your love. So I don't want you making me into some other God or some other image that you're worshiping. I want you to worship me, because one of the greatest gifts you'll ever receive is the gift of Jesus Christ. It's God Himself. Why would you want to change who He is? Right? We want to protect that image. And we want to worship Him and Him alone in the fullness of God with all that He is. Then he has this warning. He says, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon their children, their third and fourth generation, those who hate me. He's saying, this is a devastating effect. Do you realize what we're setting up for ourselves and our own nation? It will go on to the next generation and the next generation and the next. It has that kind of potential. Now, it doesn't mean that there can't be those that can then say, this is not going to continue in my life anymore. I'm going to serve the Lord our God. But what it does mean is if you start in this changing God into who you want God to be, it's more than likely your kids will follow in that example, and then your grandkids, and then your great-grandkids. But notice in verse 6, but shows mercy to thousands, and to those who love Him and keep my commandments. Don't miss the comparison. Four generations compared to thousands that are impacted by those who keep God who He is, the I Am. Remember what God told Moses when Moses said, God, who should I say sin in me? What God should I tell them you are? And God said, tell them that I am that I am. In other words, don't tell them I am who you want me to be. No, I define who I am. I am that I am. That one who says, God, you are the one, and how you reveal yourself will be how I will worship you. That is the one who makes a difference to thousands. So what does all this mean today for me in my life? Because, Pastor, I don't pray to some statue in my house. I mean, I don't pray to the Jesus hanging on my wall. You know, I'm not making God in my own image there. You know, what does all this mean to me? Well, again, verse 4 and 5, he says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness, anything in the heaven above, or that's in the earth beneath, that or that what is in the water underneath the earth. But you shall bow down, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them. What does it all mean? We must be careful not to change God as He's described in the Bible, so that we become who He wants, who we want Him to be. I want you to know, I'm not going to be stepping on just your toes. I'm going to be stepping on my toes too in a moment. Because I think it's a great temptation to think that God always thinks the way I think. I think it's a great temptation to say, yes, let's point at the world, but not realize that maybe we're not all worshiping the same God, even in the same building. In Exodus 32, this was the first commandment that the children of Israel broke. Moses had been gone 40 days up on a mountain. After he received the Ten Commandments, he brought it back to them, and then he went back up the mountain to get more instruction. While he was up on the mountain, it became a long time in their mind for them to wait. And they said, we want to worship this God. We want to worship this God. Well, they hadn't been given any instructions on how to worship this God yet. So they didn't know what this God would want. So they thought and says, what can we do? How can we worship this God? So they said, tell you what let's do. let's go and ask Aaron. Aaron, what if we got all our gold and our silver and we brought it together and we made this golden bull? And we got this bull and it will show that our God is strong, that our God is mighty. Because in their hearts, they really thought they were worshiping God, Yahweh. Let's get all together, melt it down, and let's worship Him. And when they lessened God, and they made Him into a bull, then they could do what they felt like doing. So then they said, well, let's be like all the other nations around us, and let's have an orgy as well. When Moses came down from the temple, from the mountain, he was so angry. He took those tablets and he busted them. Because they had taken God's image and distorted it. Because God is so much stronger than a bull. A bull doesn't even compare to the strength of God. They were lowering God into something less than who God is. And it affected then how they lived. There are times when we allow sin because we lessen God. And we don't see He is a mighty God. And we lose that holy fear of God. How do we do that? By taking parts of God we like and we claim them as our God. And parts we don't like, well, we just avoid or leave out. It's by taking truth of Scripture to appeal to us and make it into the image of God and leaving out the parts we don't like. So be careful if you're saying things like, God would never tell you that. Or, I don't believe God will hold us responsible for this. Or, I made a special arrangement with God on this issue, Pastor. Remember Jeff Foxworthy back in the 90s? You might be a redneck if. You might be a redneck if you cut your grass and find your car in your yard. You might be a redneck if you go to the family reunion to find a date. You might be a redneck if you make change in the offering plate. Let me rephrase this. I asked my daughter to help me. She said, Dad, you give me credit for it? I said, yes. I said, help me to come up with some, you might have made God in your own image if. So let me just read a few of these. You might have made God in your own image if it turns out that God hates the same people you do. You might have made God in your own image if you think God only worships the way you do on Sunday morning. You might have made God in your own image if you think you're the exception to the rule when it comes to obeying God's command. You might have made God in your own image if you think that prosperity gospel is for you. You might have made God in your own image if you've never had a disagreement with God. You might have made God in your own image if you think God is a Republican or Democrat. She's a pretty wise girl, isn't she? Stepping on some of my toes. You might have made God in your own image if your treatment of others varies upon their lifestyle, their background, their situation, their race, their gender, or their appearance. You might have made God in your own image if you think everyone will worship like you in heaven. You might have made God in your own image if you can do your own thing and ask God to bless it. I like this last one. It's the best. You might have made God into your own image if you think God can't transform you and use you. Well, in the end, it's not up to me to tell you or anyone else that they've made God in their own image. This commandment should cause us all to stop and ask ourselves, am I seeking God on the terms of God that I want? Or am I seeking God for who He really is? You see, God is trying to protect the greatest gift He's ever given you, Himself. And the danger is our flesh wants to make Him into something we can control or something that we like instead of letting God be God. So this morning, the challenge is, God, we've all, at times, tried to form You in our image. Forgive us. But God, it's our desire to see You as You really are. Because if we see You as You really are, that becomes life transformation. That becomes life giving. That becomes something that's beyond what I can do, ask, or think. That becomes something great. So you see, this command isn't made to make us feel guilty. This command is to say, God, I don't want to miss this mark. I want You to be You in my life so that I can be all that You want me to be. So that I can worship the true God. A God who's bigger than I am. A God who's better than I am. A God who is awesome and mighty and worthy of all the praise. That's the God we worship.